So at this time, I'd like to send a short sermon. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. Your word is like manna for our souls, bread from heaven. Feed us so we want no more. And then to send us forth from this place to feed your hungry world. But that's why you put us here. We pray this in your name. Amen. I've been the bishop in this area for almost 7 years. I've been to a lot of churches. In the area I serve, I have about 850 churches. And there wouldn't be a Sunday I would love to be at a new one because I like to see them all, okay? I like to taste the place, see what's going on. Helps me make better appointments, but it helps me to see the hearts of the churches and what good things are happening. But I also take note of the stained glass windows. I understand you brought a piece of your stained glass window from your original church building. And it seems like a lot of our older churches have tons of stained glass windows with pictures. And I've kind of taken a poll about stained glass windows. And there are two scenes that are typically seen in eastern Pennsylvania. There's others, but the two number one top winners are Jesus and the sheep. And Jesus the good shepherd with the bull lamb. And Jesus and the children. People love, they never tire of seeing Jesus surrounded by a group of often multicultural children in their stained glass windows. And I think when you pick your stained glass window, it tells you something about the church's values and what's important to them. And certainly Jesus is our shepherd, leading us and nurturing us. This is precious in our conference's culture. But also, let the children come unto me rings true in our hearts. So today, as we have a privilege of baptizing one of our children, a child of God, a new life brought into this world not so many months ago, we affirm Jesus' words and his actions and our future promises. We value this precious moment in the life of the church. And they continue to put a shine light from God to us into the life of this brother. A little background from the text. When this part of Luke was being written, Jesus was in the midst of a lot of activity. He was busy doing healing ministries, teaching, preaching, traveling. The pace of his ministry was undoubtedly very active and overwhelming, and crowds were following him around and wanting this and wanting that. And you can understand that people wanted Jesus for a lot of reasons, but you also understand that sometimes they were so busy they didn't even get to eat. And I can say, I always get to eat. I never miss a meal. But Jesus didn't get to eat. So when the mothers came and began bringing children and babies, it was probably the last straw for the disciples, who in their defense were trying to probably do a little crowd control. But they told the mothers to go away. And Jesus was not pleased with them. He told the disciples, no, let the children come unto me. And Jesus used this moment as a teaching moment. It seems like every encounter with Jesus is a teaching moment. It seems like every word he ever said could be a sermon. Helps to explain to us the meaning of the kingdom of God. So what are some of the teaching points? Well, first, of course, let the children come. Children are important and should be included in all aspects of the church's life and ministry. Because, you know, the psalm says, out of the mouths of babes and infants comes perfect praise. So we shouldn't miss out on that perfect praise. Because once you get old, you're not as perfect, right? So let's have lots of children to bring praise to God. But also, let's nurture children. I just love this place because it screams, children are welcome here on so many levels. Your bathrooms even look like kids could have a good time in there. And there's preschool. And it's just incredible outreach with your jam program, children's choirs, and your vacation Bible school, and the special children events that you have throughout the year. You rock. You got it right. Keep up the good work. Even today during our great Thanksgiving, when we're having communion, it's going to be a children's great Thanksgiving. So if it looked like it's Dr. Seuss, well, it sort of rings like that, okay? Because we want to include children today and have them understand the great Thanksgiving of our Lord as we celebrate communion in a way a child would understand. You have wonderful programs here, keep it up, but I want to challenge you to think, who's not here? What children could be here that don't get to come? You know, sometimes people don't just come to church anymore, and there's children maybe in your own family that won't get to church unless you bring them. And what about your neighbor kids? Are there kids that have problems in family situations where they never get to come to church? Can you bring them? You know, if your car has any empty seats, consider that a dedicated seat for God. To bring some child to your church so they might learn about God, because you've got a wonderful place here to learn about God. So think about who's left out. What children that have challenges, maybe children with disabilities. Let the children come. Doesn't mean y'all come, but we're going to bring you. And that's how it should be. We take the initiative and bring the children to Jesus. Jesus also said, forbid them not. And we would be quick to say, well, I'm not turning away any kids. But sometimes we do. Let's face it. Sometimes kids have sticky fingers. Sometimes they're noisy. Sometimes they don't have adult behavior. Surprise. Sometimes we neglect ministries to our children because sometimes there's just so many other important adult things to do that the children don't get the first priorities. But more important than that, I think we forbid children in a larger sense by the way we are complicit with the world's ordering of money as it pertains to the welfare of children in poverty. A lot of children here are blessed because they have family with means, but you know, when I look out in the sea of even my conference, I see a lot of children who don't have benefits of good health care options, good schools. And sometimes kids are being neglected and abused. Child pornography in this country is a $1 billion business. Children are being trafficked in this country as well as other countries. Children are used as soldiers many places. Christians need to be proactive about that. We've got to stop the abuse of children. We've got to make sure children have music classes in Philadelphia and have a nurse in their school. We can say something to our legislators. We can say something about how we need to take care of children in a better way. We can be kind of like a voice for the voiceless as we do not forbid children. My grandmother was born in 1885. And I think, well, I must be really old if my grandmother was born in 1885. Well, she was, in my defense, she was an old mother to my father. She was the kid that came along, you know, you're surprised. But that was my father. And then I was the last child of my parents, and dad married late. And so anyway, my grandmother was born in 1885. And at the ripe old age of 8, she got to go to work at the mill. She lived in Sabbath, Maryland, where there was a mill, a clothing mill. Age of 8, she earned 3 cents a day, sewing like a slave in a coal mill with no heat. She couldn't even get to go to school. She didn't get to learn how to read and write because she had to work because the family was so poor. They had 8 children, and dad was an alcoholic, and things weren't so hot back there in 1890 or whatever. But guess what? Christians banded together and said, this is wrong. Child labor laws should be established in this country so children aren't treated like slaves. And my grandmother got free. She got out of the mill because of people who said, no, we're not going to stand for this. So think about right now in your life, in your times, and things you see happening to kids. Maybe you can say, no, we're not going to stand for this either. And do something about it. People want your vote. Legislators want your opinion. So say something for those who have no voice. May this church always be a place that includes children with advocacy. And don't forbid children. Sometimes we also forbid children by being just so busy. Don't we get busy? I get busy. We get so, so busy. Sometimes we get our kids so busy that they're going from thing to thing to thing that they don't have time to think. Make sure your children are not so busy that they don't have time for their spiritual life. The spiritual dimension shapes the character and values and teaches the things that lead to life eternal. Finally, Jesus reminds us that the kingdom of God belongs to children. Jesus said that you can only receive the kingdom of God with childlike trust and total dependence on God. Jesus used children to teach grown-ups the profound truth about faith. There is nothing we can do to deserve heaven. We can only trust God for salvation and depend on God. Just as a child is dependent on their parents, we are dependent on God. Pride and self-sufficiency often gets in the way of people once we get older. Sometimes it gets in the way of us even making a commitment to Christ. But may this church here, West Grove United Methodist Church, be filled with faith. Faith in Christ for salvation and for the call to ministry with children and their families. And today as we baptize our new brother into the family of God, may we commit ourselves to faith in Christ and to ministries with children and their families. Jesus reminds us, take care of it, that you do not despise these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.